Davis and Kelly K Show on 99.7 DJX.
Hi, morning, Kelly. How are you?
Hello, Super. How are you?
Well, starting the day, I made myself a little Keurig cup of coffee here at work, and I hear it brewing, and I'm like, oh, yeah, all right, we're good. I look over, and I didn't put the coffee cup underneath the Keurig.
So, oh, that's important.
So, I'm like, oh! And so, yeah, you know, 3/4 of the coffee went into the... Thankfully, there's a little well underneath the spout that catches, like, drips. And it caught most of the coffee there before it spilled onto, like, the counter and the desk and all that stuff. But
So does it have, like, you know, almost self-destruct measures? If that happens, like, oh, it senses I have no coffee cup to do what I'm supposed to do.
Absolutely not. It just goes.
Oh, man. That's a design flaw.
You know what?
Let's blame them.
You know, yeah. I mean, it's an old Keurig, though. And so maybe the early versions don't have that sort of smart technology. So maybe some of the later ones do. I don't know. I haven't investigated. But anyway.
Okay, well, I'm glad that, you know, it didn't cause a complete disaster.
Yeah, it just kind of threw off my, like, I was just like, man, what am I doing? Like, that is the first time that I've ever done that. I'm normally really good about, okay, put the little K-cup in the little thing, take the coffee cup, put it in the thing, and hit brew.
It's really easy. It's like brewing coffee for dummies, which if I drank coffee, that would be the machine I would have.
I know. I could not see you grinding beans and scooping them into a filter and putting them in. No, I could not see you do that.
Too much work.
Yep, definitely see you using the K-cup technology, which...
I live a microwave kind of lifestyle.
Yeah.
And that's microwave coffee, basically, isn't it?
Basically, it's microwave meaning it's quick and easy. It's like...
Exactly.
Yeah, it's in and under a minute. Sure.
Yes, very tasty. But you know what? I've had the cocoa. Delightful.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Okay, so today, still reeling from yesterday's cash news. So we're all in a holding pattern until next Monday at 7:20.
Were there meetings yesterday? I assumed there were going to be meetings.
I mean, of course.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, we're just kind of in a hostage situation, I guess, because our corporate IT hasn't been able to figure out the hack. If to catch you up, we were supposed to announce a big cash promotion yesterday. Instead, when we logged into the back end, the portal, it just had an evil laugh emoji and a "you've been hacked." And then subsequently, our promo was also hacked into, and
super cute.
Yes, cute. I'm sure that's what this individual wants to be known as. Oh, you're adorable.
You should call him the super cute hacker.
Yeah. That's right. Maybe that will take the wind out of his sails a little bit.
Maybe we should make some merch out of the little evil emoji.
Right.
And you've been hacked.
So
99.7 DJX with the logo there in the corner. I think that could be fantastic. Let's just make lemonade out of lemons.
Right. So, yeah, we're, like I said, in kind of a holding pattern until next Monday at 7:20 when details, I guess, will be sprung on you all as they are on us. So
do you think he's getting a key to the building made? Maybe.
I'm hoping it's all digital. I hope he's not able to come into the building and infiltrate them.
He's a member of the staff.
Yeah, unless it's an inside job, I don't know.
You know who it was? It's PK.
Oh, you think it's our night guy?
Yeah, I think it's PK.
I don't think
he seems like the type.
No, actually, he's the opposite of the type. He doesn't seem like he has the energy to do that sort of thing.
That is true. The lack of energy.
The lack of
brain power it would take to figure it out.
Brain power. Wow.
Well, just to be able to figure out something sophisticated like hacking the radio station.
All right. So there's that. Got a phone tap. Got a fun with goats this morning.
Really? Are people still stealing goats? I mean, that's happened before.
It has. No, that's not the case. There's also, we need to address we got a message from a listener involving, and I'm just going to give you four words, okay?
Okay.
Poo on his car.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, do you think some of these we should handle privately?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
These need to be shared. Okay. These need to be shared. I mean, all right. We can't sit on this sort of gold.
I feel like, do we open up a group therapy back door where it's just like, listen, you got an issue. Maybe we shouldn't put this on the air. We're going to help you out on the little side door here.
Uh-huh. All
do
right.
You think maybe?
All right. What we hear, we'll give out your a personal email, and people can just email you then if they want a little side door action.
Okay.
All right.
Listen.
That sound good?
No, it doesn't, actually. The way you said that, no. Someone's just tuning in going, what is happening?
Kelly's offering side door action?
No, I'm not offering side door action. I'm just saying.
Man, that's kind of what it was. All right.
Maybe we shouldn't air.
So we got all that, plus feel-good stories, a lot of stuff coming up here this morning. All right, so feel good every hour. Kelly K.
Patrick Cooper is 17, lives in New Zealand.
Gotcha.
Broke a Guinness World Record
when
he spent 36 consecutive hours swinging on a playground swing set.
17-year-old Patrick Cooper successfully completed his record attempt at around 10:30 p.m. last night after spending, get this, 36 hours on a swing set at Taradale Park. He's beaten the former record by 4 hours.
Wow, there was a former record that? Okay.
Dang, blew it out of the water.
Yeah, 4 hours.
By 4 hours.
On a swing set. What?
I like the way she reported it way better than me.
You know what?
Her accent is amazing.
That was pretty cool. I got to be honest, like that would be tough to do.
Yeah, I would probably feel like I wanted to hurl after about a half an hour.
Yeah, if he's swinging the entire time on a swing set for 36 hours, holy cow.
Yeah, like I feel like there must have been some sort of like motion sickness medicine at play or something.
Hear that,
like,
or
I don't
just
know
not
how you do that.
Affected by it. Yeah.
Wow. I don't know. But there you go.
Good
I'll tell you
him.
What, New Zealand, they have, because they had the previous world record yesterday with like the most rabbits born in a litter.
Oh, was that like, where that came from?
Yes. I feel like New Zealand, you know what? Don't sleep on New Zealand. They're doing some stuff there.
Yeah,
in
they're
the
like
world record world.
Hey, notice us. We're going to go ahead and start knocking out some of these world records here.
You know what? I bet if we did some research.
That's funny.
They have quite a few.
All right.
So there you go. Patrick living his best life, swinging on a swing set for 36 hours. I'm calling that a feel good. Why not?
Sure. Setting the bar. These are examples of what not to do. Okay. So if you can manage to make it through the day without trying to convince visitors at your zoo that a Rottweiler dog is actually a wolf, you're doing okay.
They look nothing alike.
No, and actually, users on social media are like, you could have at least used a husky. I mean, that would have been actually a little bit closer.
That's what I was thinking. A husky's closer.
Right, exactly.
A husky, I might have been like, all right.
But this
creative
in a zoo there in China where there was a Rottweiler just chilling in the wolf enclosure. So apparently, the wolf once was there, passed away of old age. So the dog was a place filler and was only there to deter trespassers from climbing the wall.
Oh, okay. Kind of like a guard dog. Like, no. This is just a guard dog. And it's more interesting to look at than an empty enclosure?
Yeah, I guess that's what they're saying. And I guess they're saying that if there's nothing in there, people are going to say, well, there's got to be something in there. I'm going to climb this wall and look.
Oh, wow.
So,
well, now, if we've learned anything from some other stories, I mean, people have climbed into tiger enclosures before.
So the local forestry bureau said, hey, let's just remove this sign for right now that says there's a wolf in here.
Right. Then it's like, hey, look at our display dog.
Right. It's just a display dog, a Rottweiler.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
Anyways, if you can manage to make it through the day without trying to convince zoo goers that a Rottweiler is actually a wolf, you're doing okay.
That's a really good, solid point for zoo owners. Again, kind of a niche story.
Sure.
Maybe.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's setting the bar. Kelly Kay, what do you got?
So there was a dog, a senior dog named Baby Girl, that's finally found a home after spending 6 years in a shelter Lufkin, Texas. Yeah. Monica and Mark Deaton already had three dogs, but said, you know, it was immediate. I could tell she reminded me of my elderly dog that passed at 17 and a half. Mm-hmm. With her personality and everything, I was like, yep, she's coming home.
Aw.
She lived at the Humane Society there in Lufkin, Texas since 2014. And, you know, Monica said, just looking into her eyes, I couldn't understand why she had been there so long. Just looking at her, you just kind of knew that she would fit in with the family. She just, you know, had that part of it. She settled in quite nicely, by the way, into her new home on the first night, curled up next to her new daddy. The staff at the shelter's, though, going to miss her.
Yeah.
Yeah, they said she loved us all. She just wanted to cuddle and love on us all. She was just a really great dog here, and we're going to miss her a lot.
Wow.
Yeah, 6 years in the shelter.
Well,
and that's such a pretty dog, too.
Good for the dog. That's a good happy ending.
So, yep, we'll tweet that story out. You can see the doggo at Ben and Kelly Show.
All right, feel good. Do them every hour throughout the morning here on 99.7 DJX. A couple days ago, Adam Levine is being interviewed and talking about nostalgia. And he's like, you know what? Bands are a dying breed. And he said, I feel like there aren't any bands anymore, which kind of caused a little bit of a firestorm on social media. People are like, wait a minute, hang on a second, there are bands. What are you talking about, Maroon 5?
Did they mention the greatest rock band on planet Earth?
No, Nickelback. Is that what you're talking about?
That's what I'm talking about. They didn't mention that?
No, I mean, definitely didn't.
One of the greatest rock bands ever, right?
Yeah, so he's saying, you know, that he said it's funny when the first Maroon 5 album came out, there were still other bands. I feel like there aren't any bands anymore, you know? And a lot of people, bands in particular, have been...
They answered like, hey, we're here.
We're here. I immediately look to, okay, Jonas Brothers, AJR, what are you guys? Are you guys going to respond? You guys are bands, aren't you? And...
Absolutely.
Yeah, so...
But I do agree, it does feel like there's more artists... On the radio.
Yeah, single.
Like single artist.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I get that. I get that. And you know what? If you forced me to answer a question for $1 million on what are the other members of Maroon 5, I would answer Adam Levine four times and hope that I got it right.
And the other guys. Yeah, I don't know their names either.
I know.
Which is sad.
I know.
We should really learn their names. Is. They should wear names, like shirts with their names on them. Name tags, maybe?
Maybe.
Because they deserve just as much credit.
Greg wants to get his brother Tim a birthday present. So he asks us to call his brother from a cell phone company.
You know what? I don't need cell service. I actually use a different company.
Okay.
Well, but he hasn't heard the deals, though.
He hasn't heard the deals. He hasn't heard what's going to happen and the benefits that William Hassenpepper has. Oh, yeah. Did I mention it's a phone tap?
Louisville is getting pranked.
Oh, my God. Who set you up to this?
Here comes another Ben Davis phone tap on 99.7 DJX.
Well, Greg wrote us and said, hey, you two, my brother Tim's birthday is this week. I've got an idea for a phone tap because he's notorious for switching cell phone plans, cell phone providers, and as he says, working the system to get the best deal.
Hey, I'm working the system.
Plus, he's kind of gullible, and it's his birthday, so what do you say?
I mean, that's my favorite part.
Yeah, he's going to fall for it, so it's going to be fine. It's going to be easy.
All right, well, so William Hassenpepper has to call Tim because, well, we've got to put a cell phone tower up in his backyard, basically, and we just need his verbal approval on that, all right?
Gotcha.
All right, welcome to your phone tap.
Hello.
Hi, is this Tim?
Yeah, it is. Who's this?
Tim, it's William Hassenpepper with Wireless. How are you today?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine, thanks. But you know what? I don't need cell service. I I actually use a different company.
That's not why I'm calling, sir. You're on a list of people in the area who live close to a new cell phone tower we want to put in. So we're required to call and inform you.
You're putting up a new tower?
Yes. And it's close to your house, but nothing to worry about.
Well, when is this supposed to happen?
Well, the city requires that we get approval from 80% of the homeowners in a 3-mile radius around the tower. And you are one of those homeowners.
So wait, I'm within 3 miles of where this tower is going to be?
Yes. It looks like you're going to be within about 300 feet of the tower.
Oh,
that
wow.
Seems really close.
Think of how good your cell phone signal will be once it's in. All we need to do is get your verbal approval for the construction. Can I just put you down for a yes?
Hold on. I've read articles and stuff. You know, I've heard that you don't want to be too close to those towers. 300 feet, I mean, that just doesn't seem safe.
You know, you don't really need to listen to those medical reports. These towers are mostly, almost completely, somewhat, mostly safe. Nothing to really worry about.
Yeah, but, like, what about the radiation?
You know, sunlight's a form of radiation too there, Tim, but maybe you'll even get a better tan. So these towers have been tested on laboratory mice, and very few of them have experienced any sort of side effects.
What kind of side effects?
Listen, it's nothing really serious. I'm not a doctor or a medical expert, but some of them have experienced some headaches, maybe some memory loss. You know, maybe one of them may have just grown a third ear. It really doesn't mean it's going to happen to you, Tim. Everything's completely safe.
A third ear?
Yeah. Listen, just give me your verbal okay. We can just put this thing to bed, and we can put this tower up by your house. And you know what? Hey, we're going to throw in free wireless service for 6 months. How's that sound?
No. Wow. No. You guys should not be building these towers so close to people's houses. And, you know, I want to get together with my neighbors, too. And, you know, we're not going to let your company
I'm
going
to get together with my neighbors. We're going to let my hey, listen, I think you're making a big mistake, Tim. I mean, yeah, you may experience some side effects like night terrors, loss of sexual desire, diarrhea.
Wait, what?
But listen, you're going to get amazing radio reception. I mean, I'm telling you what, you are going to listen and be able to hear 99.7 DJX in your teeth.
Oh. Wow.
What?
Tim. It's Ben Davis from 99.7 DJX. Greg set you up. It's a little phone tap.
Oh, man. Oh, God.
Happy birthday, Tim.
See, I think you almost had him with the radio reception and the teeth. I mean,
He was like, hang on.
Hang on. 6 months of free service and radio in my teeth?
And I get to hear DJX in my teeth? Wow. Okay, go on. That is your phone tap. On 99.7 DJX. You know, I want to say probably rut season is 12 months a year for the human species. Am I right?
Sure. Yeah. I don't think there is a particular just small time frame for that.
Yeah, for when males and females are looking to mate and hook up. But there is for the animal kingdom. And, you know, we've talked about deer and rut season. I didn't know that there was such a thing as rut season for goats. And this is where the learning comes in. And, you know, we always pride ourselves on trying to be an educational show as well as a show for entertainment and humor. But education.
Sure, you're entering Education Corner.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, so there is a window of time when the male goat needs to signal he's ready for a female goat.
Okay, so Mr. Goat's looking for a Mrs. Goat.
Yeah.
This is how he lets them know.
So, as humans, I mean, what do? We splash on a little extra cologne, maybe put some our best perfume on, you know, doll up our hair a little bit.
Yeah, buy a new outfit, you know, feel really confident, go out there and send out the vibe.
Are you ready for this next sentence?
Well, I'm not sure when you say it like that.
Apparently, male goats, when it's that time, spray their own urine inside their legs, on their beards, and on their faces to give off that beautiful, strong, musky scent that attracts females.
No. they think they pee on themselves and think that that smells nice.
Listen
to the ladies.
Listen, according to these these breeders, it is actually impressive how far they can spray and how well they can aim their own wiener to do so.
No.
And they say,
wait a second.
And the breeders say, you know what? There's no point in actually even bathing them because they'll just do it because they don't think soap that you think smells good to them or a female goat's. They're like, no, 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 no. Trust me. This is like the Axe body spray for these women.
Wow. you know what? I am really glad that they don't pee on the female as a way to send a signal.
Yeah,
they're peeing on themselves.
Yes, yes.
All right.
They're like, hey.
Okay.
Hey. And so I think about, man, what if, and maybe humans evolved out of this. Maybe back in the day, back in caveman era, cavemen were like,
nope.
Hey.
Nope. Nope.
And I don't know.
I will not subscribe to that theory.
Maybe what they lay on their back and they just let her go and to try to get it everywhere. And then we evolved as time and as culture evolved. They're like, you know what? There's an easier way. And there's something that smells
I'm
a little bit better.
Sure, that didn't work like that.
We
can figure
out how to get the pheromones and all the good smelling things that aren't included in your own urine.
I feel like, you know, I feel like Adam figured out as soon as he saw Eve, he's like, you know what? I got to find some deodorant. Probably maybe a nice coconut, rubbed it under the arms, maybe.
Oh, is that what you're thinking?
I feel like that's where I'm thinking. That's where I'm going. I don't think his first thought was, I'm going to pee on myself and see if she likes that. I don't think so. I really think that wasn't his thought process. I think maybe coconuts under the armpits, take care of the BO.
Yeah, so maybe. Again, we can, I guess, be thankful that the human species isn't exactly like the goats. But before
especially guys.
But before we start and start throwing shade at the male goats, they like it. It works.
Wow. How have you not played a goat scream? Because it's kind of shocking information.
I mean, goats are all hoping it ends in this. That's right. They all hope it ends in this, right? So there you go.
Oh, wow.
That is
mission accomplished.
Learning corner there. I bet you were today years old when you realized that male goats do that in rut season to attract the females.
Hey, ladies, look at what I got going on.
Come get a whiff of this.
Yeah. I still need one goat scream. It's kind of shocking information.
Yeah.
I can. I can do that for you.
So wait. So let's play this out. So Mr. Goat is all like, all right, he makes some pee-pee, and he's all like,
yeah.
And then she's all like,
ah! Right. There you go. Goat corner.
See?
99.7.
That was like a little goat soap opera scene. I like that.
DJ, man, they had the best of intentions. Burger King wanted to highlight the gender disparity in the restaurant industry. How there are not enough female chefs represented. How they did it got a lot of attention.
Women belong in the kitchen?
Yeah, they tweeted, women belong in the kitchen. Now, I saw that tweet in real time. I was like, huh. And so I clicked on it, and then they literally added to that thread with...
So they explained it.
Yes, with the explanation of what that meant. Like,
but people didn't get the explanation.
Yet only 20% of chefs are women, you know, if they want to, of course. And yet only 20% of chefs are women. And they're trying to change the gender ratio in the restaurant industry by empowering female employees with the opportunity to pursue a culinary career. That all is good. And if they were trying to get attention, they did. Congratulations. Because in the social media world, and in the, I'm only going to read the headline of the article. Like,
they don't read further.
I'm guilty of that myself. Someone may see that because that was just the standalone tweet. You had to actually go into the actual thread to see everything else.
Sure.
The Women Belong in the Kitchen did not sit well on International Women's Day.
Really?
Oh my gosh.
You know what? They didn't meet me because they do not want me in the kitchen.
Well,
nobody
okay,
needs
all right.
me in the kitchen.
All right,
I'll tell you that.
They're talking to everyone but you. All right, okay, Kelly. All right, good. All right. They're saying, you know
my
what?
My husband's like, get out of the kitchen until it's time to clean up and you can come back in.
Yeah, so they wound up. I mean, even other brands were coming at them like, you know, probably should have double checked this tweet before you sent it out on International Women's Day, all this other stuff. And you know, they were even, for a while, they were jumping back in and they were like, so, like, kind of defending it, going, hey, we're just trying to bring up the gender gap in chefs, in the culinary
which
world.
Which is good, but do you sure. think maybe they should have included, like, a little winky face emoji?
I don't know. But
like,
it, I mean,
you know, an it, arrow, like, read on.
It crashed. I mean, it, you know, it's like,
dang.
Yeah, they have a social media team, you know, and the person's like, hey, I got an idea. It's going to get attention. All right. Because, you know, that's not just one guy in his basement going, you know, that'll be funny. It's a team of people and they have to sign off sure. on it. And they're like, yes, I yeah. think that's a good tweet. And
yes,
it just,
well, they were trusting that people were going to read further.
Oh, and that's where you're wrong. That's where you're wrong. No one does. No one does.
Nope.
So they wound up actually deleting that tweet and explaining why they did. They had seen some, like, not just nasty towards them. I mean, they can handle that. They're a brand. But it was, people started getting nasty towards each other and all that stuff. And so they're like, you know what? We're just deleting the entire thread. Our mission still remains the same, that we're trying right. to empower female chefs in the culinary world. However, on International Women's Day, just tweeting women belong in the kitchen probably isn't the way to go about it.
Listen, I still have a sense of humor.
Yeah.
So that kind of stuff, like, I don't get offended really at anything. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I appreciate what they were trying to do.
Sure.
It's hard to stand out in today's world, you know?
Yeah.
It's you know what? They had the best of
I know,
intentions.
And I'll go back to my original sentence. It was with the best of intentions that they sent out the women belong in the kitchen. Tweet.
Yes. Oh, dang. Yeah, but just add a little winky face emoji,
something.
Little
I don't
arrow,
know. I
like,
don't know.
Down, read more,
right.
something. They need to do something. Listen, this is, they need to realize we are living in a world where people just read headlines,
mm-hmm.
and they make up their minds, and they decide they know everything, and they don't need to read further.
Yeah, well, yeah, this was a case where, had you clicked on the thread, you probably would have been able to actually get the explanation from Burger King. But hey,
oh, but
you know
then
what?
The infighting too with the people. Oh, dang.
We're talking about it. So, you know, did it work?
Yeah.
Maybe did draw some awareness to that.
You know what? I could use a tasty burger right now.
Okay.
Done and done.
Done and done. All right, Olivia Rodrigo. It's 99.7. Olivia Rodrigo, 99.7 DJX. She's breaking all sorts of records with that song. And I'll tell you another song that's broken some records. That's The Weeknd's Blinding Light. I don't know if you've ever heard it played on 99.7 DJX.
This song has amazing staying power. Like, I don't understand the magical formula that has made this yep. song stay around as long as possible. But wow.
It became the first song ever to spend a full year on the Billboard Top 10. Like,
you know what? I'm going to go ahead and squarely place the blame on the McFarlane family.
Oh my gosh.
Who
yeah,
went
they,
viral with their dance to it.
Yeah.
I feel like it's all the TikTok dancers
I gave it
that really
yeah.
led to the success of this one hanging around for a year.
To put it in perspective, we started playing this song back in, I want to say, November of 2019.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? It's been a good run. I feel like, you know, I'm good. I feel like we can move on. Like, can we retire it now?
I mean, this isn't like sports. We can't retire a number.
We can't?
Into the rafters. But yes,
I think we should start.
I'm telling you, that song has broken all sorts of records. I think probably Olivia Rodriguez trying to replicate some of that success with her song, Driver's License, there.
feel like we need to hit the pause button, though, and then maybe we can bring it back to it again someday down the road.
I mean, you know, The Weeknd is seeing some, you know, success with some of his other songs. So, anyways.
Okay, well, I feel like, but, you know, it's being overshadowed by this one. It's like, step aside, let the new kids come in
that this one
and
is,
get some attention.
This one is definitely the guest that won't leave at your party.
Yes.
All right.
That's what...
Coming up next, it is a feel-good story.
Oh, yeah. Let's get some feel-good up in here. I mean, that could be qualified as a feel-good story, I guess, depending on how you look at it. But we're going to go to a nursing home in Minnesota where a really creative in figuring out how to see her dad. This is a really sweet story.
All right. After The Weeknd.
So we go to Minnesota for this one. Lisa Racine. She had her father in a nursing home and, of course, all the restrictions keeping them apart. So she got creative in figuring out a way to spend some time with him. Now, she was already a full-time project manager for a printing company.
Okay.
But she decided to take on a part-time custodial job at the nursing home, which not only gave her a second paycheck, but also let her see her dad.
Oh, that is good.
Yeah, Harold is 87. He's been in the nursing home since December, and seeing her walk in there said was such a pleasant surprise. He said it was one of the happiest days of my life.
Oh, my gosh. That is
cool. Isn't that adorable?
Yeah, that is really cool.
I mean, so many of these stories where
people get creative.
Family members end up getting jobs so that they can be there around their family members. We'll tweet out the story at Ben and Kelly Show.
All right, good deal. That's your feel good. Do them every hour throughout the morning here on 99.7 DJX. Ben Davis, Kelly K Show. Sometimes you just need the opinion of some other people, you know, people that aren't necessarily emotionally invested in your situation. So you shoot us a message. We'll toss it out to the group here and see if we can get you some guidance. So we got this message from a listener who writes, I went on a first date with a guy I work with this weekend. Came inside my house for a drink afterwards. When he left about an hour later, there was poo on the hood of his car.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, no.
He was annoyed and chalked it up to some vandals. Seems legit.
Okay. All right.
She continues. My Ring doorbell camera footage later revealed that it was actually my 17-year-old son.
No! Oh my gosh!
I want him to know that I know, and obviously his video game system is gone for a month. But more importantly, I'm worried he's going to try and sabotage our attempts to get together again. I'm struggling with what to tell my date. Do I? Would you?
Oh no, I don't think so. I don't think we tell him that.
Yeah, I think I agree with you in... We kind of handle that on our own, and we just forget it even happened if we're our dates, you know, when it comes to the date, you know?
Karen was like on Facebook, have your son tell him and tell your son he'll be washing and detailing your coworker's car the next few months. Taking the video system away isn't a punishment. Well, that's one way to go.
Yeah.
Many people are chiming in saying there's way more to this than we're not hearing. This kid's dealing with some stuff. Get him in therapy.
Yeah, that seems to be something that probably needs to happen. Jenna texts us and says, honestly, unless I was super into the guy, I'm not sure I would even go out with him again at all. But definitely not until I had worked through some things with my son.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the overwhelming sentiment from most people is like there's something serious going on. The kid needs some therapy. We need to deal with that first. Elizabeth is like, start a TikTok page and post a video on there. I don't think that's what we do, Elizabeth. I don't think we do that. That is not going to help anybody,
especially if it goes viral and then it encourages that behavior.
We don't need to make a new challenge out of this.
It's not what we're going at right here. So I mean. are we I guess just saying, okay, you gotta talk to your son about this.
Oh, yes, for sure. We don't tell the date, but we tell the son.
Mm.
We have a serious talk about that, and we get a professional counselor involved.
Mm. Yeah.
I agree with everybody that says this is way more than just like either a prank or a, you know, a jealous son or whatever. That is not a normal reaction to her, his mom having a date.
You know, of the two of us, you know, I have a 17, I have the 17 year olds, but you've got the son. So
I've got an 11-year-old son. So, my son.
So your son takes crap on someone's car hood.
I'm fairly confident that my son would doing that.
Yes, you gotta.
My daughter, I'm concerned about.
My daughter may, but not my son. I don't think there's really that much further to go on this. Just a couple points on this group therapy from a listener who her son disapproved of the first date that she brought back to her house by going number two on his hood. Now, he doesn't know. He just thought it was some vandals, but she caught him on ring camera doing it. So it's like, what do I do? I think we all said, first of all, don't tell your date. It was your son.
Yeah, no, he doesn't need to know. He's already chalked it up to vandals. Let's let him live with that because he's not wrong. That was vandalism.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes. And I don't think it's going to help anybody knowing that it was her son.
Right. Right. For sure.
But and she needs to handle things with her son.
Yeah. And, you know, we did get some like text messages from some listeners that are like, hey, you know, hopefully this is like the start of a movie where she keeps seeing the boyfriend and he slowly wins her son's approval and everything is some happy rom-com. And, you know, there's that.
It's a little far-fetched right now.
And we can move on. Yeah, it does. It does a little bit.
Yeah, Stacy said your son obviously has some things going on that you and him need to figure out together. He's trying to express that, but definitely in the wrong way. Maybe a therapist could help. You deserve a life too, though, and he's old enough to understand that. I wouldn't bring the date to your house, though, until the issues with your son are resolved.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point. Like, I wonder how many, like, first dates she's brought by the house. Now, I don't want to, like, throw shade on the listener at all. But maybe the volume with which maybe he has gotten, the son has gotten attached to maybe some of these guys. And then
I don't know.
They're out of their, you know, his life and her life. And there is some abandonment issues that we're dealing with.
There's obviously a big family history we know nothing about.
Right,
so
right.
I think I agree with most everyone that says this isn't a normal reaction to this kind of thing. So let's get into some therapy and try to dig deeper and see what's really going on.
Now, listen, going number two outside is not necessarily cause for alarm because I've done it. But I'm just saying.
Were you in the forest, though, on a hike where you were nowhere near facilities?
No, I was in an alley. And I was riding my bike, and I couldn't make it to my house, which was a block away. So,
gotcha. Well, this was not the case because the car was in the driveway.
Yeah.
There was access to facilities. This was a calculated decision that needs to be dealt with.
Yes.
Like, we're not talking about an out-in-nature emergency.
Right. And I don't want to shame him for going number two, but that was just his way.
This should be shamed. This particular incident should be shamed. It's not right. We should never do that. There's really no justification for that, Benji. I really appreciate you're trying to find some sort of a redeeming situation for this kid, but nope, never gonna be okay.
I agree with you that this form of retaliation is not okay, right? I'm just saying, yes. I don't want to shame everyone who has to go number two outside.
No, exactly. Saying, there are other situations,
there are situations
where you can't help it. This situation is not one of those,
okay? All right, if you want to see all the comments and leave yours, you always can. At Ben and Kelly Show. All right, let's get to a feel good. Feel good. Do these every hour throughout the morning. Kelly K.
So by now you've probably heard the story of Ethan. He was a dog that was found abandoned in the parking lot of the Kentucky Humane Society back in January. The shelter posted photos of Ethan, and I mean, he was in such bad shape, near death.
He was in the process of dying.
Skinniest dog. Yeah. He was the skinniest dog that they had ever seen still breathing.
Yeah. Wow.
And they started to kind of document his process. He immediately, you know, jumped into trying to save his life, warming him with heated blankets, warm IV fluids. And he has made a remarkable recovery. So during that, he's been living with KHS staffer Jeff Calloway and his family.
Okay.
But they announced that his temporary home will become permanent tomorrow.
Oh.
They're adopting him.
Yay.
Isn't that great? So, and they promised, you know, they've been sharing his whole journey on social media the entire way. LKY did a story on them, and they said they promised to share the adoption ceremony and celebration on social media as well, so you can continue to be invested. I mean, they got a ton of donations for his care. They got merch together. They started
selling.
I bought
merch.
So, oh, did you really?
I did.
You bought some Ethan merch?
I bought an Ethan coffee mug.
Oh, that's so great. So, yeah, I mean, he's gone viral. This is a much bigger story than just here in the city. So it's great to see that he's doing well. He's thriving. He's got a loving family now. And it's just super happy ending. We love to see it.
Love
we'll tweet out the latest update at Ben and Kelly Show. We'll also share the Kentucky Humane Society's latest post on him on our Facebook page at 997DJX.
Yeah, every Wednesday we do a Wet Nose Wednesday where we feature adoptable animals there at the Humane Society. And that is so cool. That is a great update for Ethan.
Oh, yeah. And fortunately, most animals are in much better shape at the Humane Society than what Ethan was found in. So they did a wonderful job bringing him back to life. And he's just, you'd never even know he started in that state. He's now like 83 pounds. His goal weight was 80 pounds. And he's super happy, super healthy, handsome boy.
Feel good. All right, setting the bar stories. We always give you these stories to really just paint a picture that it sets the bar very low for the rest of your day, you know?
It's a small little hurdle you can jump over, a little life lesson nestled in the middle.
Yeah, this is a bit of divine intervention. Maybe that's not the right phrase, but when you hear it, you can decide. Setting the bar. If you can manage to make it through the day without trying to burn your Bible, causing your house and the neighboring places to burn down, you're doing okay.
Do you see my eyeballs right now? Like, why in the world did you ever think it was going to be a great idea to... Wait a second. Is this a life or death situation? Did they, like, have nothing else to burn that was, like, survival depended on it? You had to stay warm somehow, and your Bible just happened to be handy.
I mean, this
is
the
situation.
This is out of Texas, so I don't think staying warm is a thing. But out of Fox 29,
investigators say a woman set fire to a Bible in her own backyard.
Mm-hmm.
The flames spread quickly, causing major damage to this duplex on the city's far northeast side of town.
Yeah, she was arrested.
Do you know what this is? It's literally hellfire. She literally created hellfire.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Like, wow.
Maybe of all the books you try to burn next time, maybe that's not the first one you choose. I don't know.
Maybe not. I don't know. Even if you're not like a religious person, I wouldn't test it.
I don't know why, but that's a little setting the bar story that I'm hoping you can manage to not do. Whatever happens today, you can look back on this moment and say, you know what? At least I didn't burn a Bible, setting fire to my house, along with some neighboring houses.
All right, so we've learned that they are super flammable.
Yeah.
That's what we learned.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
All right.
Good note. I don't know where we go from there.
No, we don't.
I feel like we need to just close it down, shut it down, end of show.
Yep,
leave the building.
Setting the bar there. If you missed it,
I might go to church.
If you missed anything from the show, you can catch up on the podcast, WDGX.com. Click listen. Have a good one. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Ben Davis and Kelly K Show podcast. Come back tomorrow for a brand new episode. Only from 99.7 DJX.
Brand new episode. Brand new episode.